Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 489. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Earl, make me that bacon.
Earl is here as well. And we lost Earl. He left. Already lost Earl.
It's like, I think we did.
No, you're back. Earl is here. He's making the bacon.
He's making the bacon.
Yeah.
And Jeff is here as well, impatiently awaiting Animal Crossing.
True. But like, I think there's one thing we all have to admit, though, before we get into this, and that is, like, Fallout 5 has some amazing graphics, guys. It looks just like real life.
And it is, in fact, real life.
It is. What a difference a week makes.
Oh my god.
I don't think I was here last week, so
like we talked about it and like, it was like worst case scenario.
And now yeah, we've reached that real quick.
Yeah, dude.
Literally like the next day everything was like, yeah, we're just not going to exist. So like, have fun.
Like you ever have these moments throughout the day where you're just like, wow, this is really happening and I never thought I'd see this in my life? Like
yeah, it's funny because well, we started the podcast. Nobody knows. I was literally late. Part of it was because I was playing games with my friends, and we were paid 9 parchments on the Switch. Like, oh, we can continue this weekend, and I'm literally saying to them, like, literally speaking, we have nowhere to go. Like, there is nothing to do, even if you want to leave your house. Movie theaters, restaurants, bars, schools, libraries, and you name it. They're closed.
And it's kind of this cascading thing where, like, even, like, yesterday, like, you know, every day at my job, I see, like, all the businesses in my downtown, and a lot of them closed yesterday, right? But today it was, like, more closed, and it's just like, oh, no. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Like here in New York, the governor asked, I think yesterday, that businesses have no more than 50% of the staff on site. Today, it's 25% of staff on site.
LA just went under lockdown, which sounds like a more extreme version of what we're all dealing with right now.
I think San Francisco's already, I think the Bay Area is already in lockdown.
Well, I think California just declared.
I meant to say California, like the state. Yeah.
Okay.
State, 40 million people are under lockdown.
Is it just like, don't leave your house at all? Like,
yeah, unless for like food or prescriptions or whatever, you know, like you have, if you're seen outside, it could ask you like why you're out.
We've
here.
Literally reached the end times,
dude. Yeah, well, it's wild. Like it's fucking crazy. Holy shit.
Well, if you're outside, just say you're a GameStop employee and you're essential.
Oh my god, I caught that. I think after everyone today, and I was just like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, not super surprised. Actually, not surprised at all. That sounds just like GameStop speak.
Yeah, so just for those that, if they didn't catch it like Jeff did, GameStop sent out a memo to their staff today telling them to keep their stores open even during state lockdowns. And they're to tell law enforcement that it's okay because they're essential retail.
Like, could you imagine being in that position? As like, this would be me, like, as a GameStop employee going, do I listen to them? Or, like, what the fuck?
Well, I think this is GameStop knowing that if they shut down their stores, that's it. That's the end for them.
Yeah.
It's the end of them as a company.
But, I mean, GameStop is a huge company. There are a lot of small businesses that are not going to...
That's what I was thinking, Earl. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I see the argument people are saying, like, they're on the brink and shit, but it's like, so is every fucking restaurant I know. Like, so is
they are, and a lot of them are going to go under because of this.
Yeah.
And it's like, but are we going to let that happen? Like, that, dude, I got to be honest. Like, the thing that's been scaring me more than the virus itself is that. Because I'm like, that's just not fair, dude. Like, I'm sorry. I know we went through this in 2008 with a lot of people that, like, lost their jobs.
But we did not go through this in 2008. Not in the same way.
This is so direct. This is so, like, the government fucked up. The government's asking you to close down your business.
Well, it's not that they screwed up. Like, I mean, now they're doing the right thing. It's like, they have to close. I mean, they took their time. But, like, ultimately, that was always going to be the end game. There's no way to prevent this without shutting down businesses. The problem is,
but it might have been like maybe we would have reached this point no matter what, but like I just felt like if we were on top of it, like if the government was on top of it, like maybe this would have been the very worst.
Right.
We haven't hit the worst yet.
Plus, the longer you wait, the longer that lockdown period is going to last.
Yes.
The more widespread it's going to be. And if they try to take it back, like the virus, like 2 weeks from now, they're like, okay, it's fine, everybody go back out. And it just comes back up again.
Yeah.
So this it's going to take a while.
Honestly speaking, that's the thing that scares me the most, and that's I've said this to everybody. It's like, it's not the virus, it's like, we don't know, because for some reason everybody has this magical 2 weeks. Like, everybody's like, oh yeah, we'll be back to, like, well, you know, like, my job now, it's like, we'll be back on March 31st, and it's like,
it's not,
yeah, like, no.
That's like the placeholder date that's going to get moved. Like, everyone think, like, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, then the stores will open again on April 1st or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if it's something where, I know with my company, I keep asking my boss, like, hey, what's the plan? like where
nobody knows, dude.
Like, I don't care. Like, I could work from home regardless, but what's the plan? And that's exactly right, Jeff. Nobody knows, because from what I'm getting from my boss, who she's like talking to the CEO, they don't know because they're not getting information from the government. So they don't know what the future plan is for the government. So they can't even give a timeline.
Yeah.
Because it's so fucked up.
I mean, it's a very fluid situation, but I think this week it came out, like, the best case scenario right now is 8 weeks. Would put us through May. I will be honest with you. I mean, we're only 4 days in and I'm already going kind of a bit stir crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is just a symptom of not being prepared on any level. It's like, my job shut down over the weekend. Well, not shut. Oh, yeah, the libraries aren't open. But that doesn't, like, there was no plan put in place for people to actually, like, we're working from home, but that doesn't mean there's work to do, because a part of work flow is that you work with other businesses and other people. If people aren't doing stuff, that shows down what you're doing, which in turn shows down. So there's just like this downward spiral of, like, less and less stuff to do.
So for me, like, you know, being on the finance side of things for my company, but in charge of the billing aspect, it's like, all right, like, some of that stuff is going to continue because we're a medical assistance company, and, you know, we're still getting questions from clients on, like, how to deal with pandemics and stuff. But you're not going to sell new stuff during this time.
Right.
And so at some point, like, there's just not going to be any flow of anything going on. Like, my teams are just going to be sitting there, like, twiddling their thumbs.
And, like, I'm sorry, I know that the government's working on different plans for this, but, like, they got to do something before the first, dude. Like, people are going to owe rent. There's going to be landlords and shit that don't give a fuck about any of this. And, like, the economy's about to, like, explode. It already has, but, like,
I was about to say, the economy's already exploding.
The real ground level impact is, like, coming, like, real fucking quick. And,
well, I mean, I think that
I don't feel the urgency on it. Like, I don't feel them. Like, and I'm sorry, though, if we could bail out these fucking huge ass corporations and banks and shit all these times, we gotta do this for fucking regular people. Like,
and I think that's what they're trying to aim for, but, you know, Republicans are Republicans. But yeah, I mean, but the
they're
problem
fucking
is,
going harder than the Democrats right now. It's just kind of scary.
I mean, but they're going hard for the businesses.
Some of them are proposing more money.
Because the House one is $2,000 a month, where Romney's is just $1,000 once.
I don't know. There's multiple people that have $2,000 a month ones, but, like,
Nancy Pelosi
wants to means test people. Like, she wants you apply for shit. Like, dude,
no,
just
I think hers is
two checks out. Like,
no, I think hers is $2,000 a month.
If it is, I haven't seen that, but I have seen that she was, like, her and some other people were like, basically you have to apply, and they were trying to figure out who needs what. And it's like, no, dude, send everyone the $2,000 check and figure the rest out on the back end.
No, fucking, no, no, no. Because I think
then you figure it out. You don't want red tape right now. You want.
I think that was her rejection of a certain policy. The actual bill that they passed that's going to the Senate. But it was like it's like $2,000 a month. It's like small business owned and stuff like that. Because a lot of the stuff the last time was top down and that never worked. Like one of the things people are kind of making fun of now are airlines, which got bailed out, which had a huge tax cut, and what they did, and instead of reinvested in themselves, they just bought back stock, and now they're like, oh, we're gonna go out of business. It's like you folks have had opportunities to better your business standpoint. And you haven't, so why should you get a third chance? But yes, it is kind of funny because it's weird how like ultimately both sides might get what they want accidentally because like right now I think Canada and U.S. have chose borders to each other. We've chose our borders to Europe. Most European countries have closed their borders to other countries. People aren't traveling outside. I mean, like even within the States, people aren't traveling. So you get that. It looks like we might end up accidentally getting universal basic income for some people.
I don't think permanently, but they need to do it. There needs to be universal income immediately, for everybody.
As somebody says, it's always difficult for the government to take back programs they start.
$2,000 a month from the government ain't gonna be happening.
I don't think that's gonna happen. But I do think that.
I wish.
Sign me up.
I'd be going on 3 vacations every fucking year.
But yeah, it's so weird. I think at the end of the show last week, I mentioned that as far as I knew, we were still working. And we got an email from work Friday that we were still supposed to report to work on Monday. And then like everybody got upset. That wasn't the big thing. But then they closed schools on Sunday. And once they closed schools, it was just like a cascading effect because like all the businesses are like, crap. Now we either have to figure out childcare for 1.1 million kids or just not going to be open because parents is going to show up. I don't even know what you do with kids because like almost all the school systems are closing down for the year.
And
you just advance people,
right?
When you say the year, like I think a lot of people don't realize, like maybe in the fall they won't be doing it either. Like, yes, for the rest till fucking summer, it's over. They ain't gonna be classes, but. Like Tony was saying, it could be like a situation where we're back on for 2 weeks where we could kind of like leave the house and shit, and then it might be back to like,
that was a bad idea.
Like that's my understanding from, you know, reading and podcasting, et cetera. Like, is that like, it's going to be this kind of weird balancing act until the vaccine, assuming we get a vaccine. And
which is about a year and a half out.
And also hoping that this thing is seasonal and that it can't survive in the heat.
But the thing is, and I could be wrong,
it's
still relatively warm. Like, I mean, that's one of
It is, but
we didn't really get winter this year.
I've heard in like warmer climates, and this is not something I've read on a news article, so if this is wrong information, forgive me, but someone was telling me at work, and I kind of trust this guy, that like in the warmer climates right now, there's not really that many cases.
Yeah,
so
not
that
much
leads me to believe, because it's going to spread everywhere. Like at this point,
it has spread everywhere.
So if it's not spreading as bad there, that means something, I think, right? But I'm no fucking scientist.
It could, but remember, like, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago? It was, oh, this is really only affecting the old, like. Like if you're old and you get it, that's dangerous. But most other people are fine. But now we're finding out that people that are relatively healthy, you know, 20, 30, 40, like it's deadly for them as well. So
much less so, but yes. So this is the numbers I've heard. Like for say people our age, it would be like 80% of us would just be like a cold or maybe even a mild cold, like not that bad, right? But like 20% of people our age would be very ill, like not dying, but very ill, like to the point where you'd have to be hospitalized.
Yeah.
And then some of us, some people our age would die. So it's and healthy, like healthy people. So it's like,
yeah,
a real nasty virus. Like,
I don't want to take like a 1 in 5 chance that I end up in the hospital.
I don't want to take a 1 in 100 chance I'm going to die. Fuck right. That, dude. Yeah. You know, like that's are not great odds.
No,
those are bad.
Because on a normal day, it's not a 1 in 100 chance I'm going to die.
I was trying to get somebody when we were still open last week to understand like the magnitude of that. Like, she just wasn't quite getting it, and I was like,
even if you're
at 1%, like there's 300 people that work in this office, that means three people in this office are gonna die. Like, three people you know that work here are potentially gonna be dead from this thing. Oh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah,
that's how percentages work. But then we see all these fucking idiots like down in Alabama and Florida and along the Gulf Coast for spring break. Like, what the fuck is wrong with these governors that aren't being like, hey, shut this shit down?
Because they don't like it. See, this is the problem with getting people to distrust science and the news. It's like, oh, it's just trying to hurt the president. And it's like, it's no big deal. It's just like the flu. And it's like, yes, the flu also kills people. Yes, we don't make a big deal about it because we have vaccines in way, but it still kills people every year.
Right.
There's a reason you get it every year. It's not like, oh yeah, flu's coming around, no big deal. And there's no right answer. Like, we don't. No country has. I don't think no country wants to go on a full on China lockdown, but China seems to be showing signs of progress after doing it. So. Something's working for them.
Yeah, hopefully. And
but yeah, Yankees.
From what I hear, South Korea is doing pretty well. I think they've kind of been under, maybe not a lockdown in the same sense that China was, but they've had pretty strict handling of it. Yeah, and they seem like they might be returning to normal now. I wonder if it's like what Tony said, though, where in like 2 weeks, I'll be like, oh, shit, shouldn't have done that. Everybody's shutting all back down.
And that's ultimately the problem when you don't have like a vaccine or anything. It's like, it's going to flare up. Like, it's going to be with us for the rest of our lives. It's not like something that's going to disappear. But like the flu, we kind of control it. Like, you can take if you're not an anti-vaxxer, you can take a shot. It doesn't make you immune, but it does, you know, lessen your chance of getting it. Or at least builds up your immunity so that when you do get it, you fight it off much quicker.
Right.
And, you know, there's going to be people who get it and who have recovered, but that doesn't mean they can't get it again. That doesn't mean that they can't spread it to other people. And I think that's the thing that people aren't understanding, especially young folks. It's like, when it came out that it wasn't a big deal to them, it's like, oh, I can do this. It's like, but your grandparents, your parents, your teachers, your mentor, your boss at work, you can affect them.
I think we found out that America is very selfish.
Yes.
Well, it's not just America. That's the sad thing.
And well, it's human nature, right? The thing in front of me is what's most important. And
yeah,
this other stuff is, it happens to other people, not me.
My governor has just ordered all non-life sustaining businesses to close as of 8 PM. Defiance of the order could result in jail time.
So you're on lockdown?
I don't know if it's lockdown, but like businesses should not be open unless they are life sustaining. Oh, I'm businesses. Not sure what that means.
It means GameStop will still be in business.
Evidently.
If I can't trade in that copy of
oh no, they Mario stopped trade ins. That's the other thing I read today. In because of this, they've stopped trade ins to protect their employees and their customers.
All right, then they're dead either way.
Right. So like that, I was like, well, what's the purpose? Exactly. I was like, what's the purpose of me going there? Like,
I was also gonna say it's funny because there is GameStop news this week, but as like hindsight, it doesn't matter because it was like they appointed a bunch of people, including Reggie, to the board, and it's like, yeah, does not matter.
Not at all. Well, welcome to our virus podcast.
Right.
Also, fun fact, literally, while we were just talking just now, I was calling in sick to work. Love being able to do that on the internet.
Okay, so, see, I can't talk about work too much, because I mean, you all know where I work. I've mentioned it several times. But I found out today that our custodial staff isn't coming into work, and the union's backing them on that, which I don't mind. But it means that we have not cleaned up our facilities in like a week. Oh, and no. I assume there's going to be a lot of other issues that pop up when we actually do get back to work, in the fact that these buildings aren't being maintained. So, fun time for all.
Yeah.
Okay, a quick aside before we start talking about games. What goes with pineapple juice? Because I bought pineapple juice and I'm like, I actually don't know what mixes with it.
Cranberry what kind of alcohol?
Vodka.
Vodka. Okay, because I have vodka, tequila, gin, rum, dark rum and night rum.
I would do vodka.
Okay. Are you
I would do like vodka? I'm trying to think what you would mix else with it.
I like pineapple juice, but it is very strong.
Maybe do like some club soda or Sprite or something like that. Like
you can do that. Give it a little bit of fizz. Yeah.
Yeah. Give it some fizz. Water down the pineapple juice, because like pineapple juice, like you were saying, Chris, like it's very potent. Like it's, you know, it's concentrated fucking mix.
That's way too much effort. I'm just gonna do my normal G&T.
There you go. When I do have pineapple juice, I mix it with cranberry juice and vodka. But
I wasn't thinking. I was just like, oh, they had a pineapple juice bag. $3. I bought 4 cans of them. I'm like, wait, what does it actually mix with?
Fucking, here's how I know my girlfriend's stressed. Like, she does not drink at all. Like, she'll have, like, one drink if we go out to eat, right? She drank, like, half a bottle of Crown last night.
We're so proud.
I was proud, but also like, yep, she's freaking out about her job and shit.
Well, she works in food service, right?
Like, yep. Yeah. She's catering manager. Yeah.
Oh no!
That's even
scary.
So, like a lot of her business died off before this even started, because like businesses were closing down first. Like, oh, you know, work at home type shit. Like, this is what over a week ago, right? And she was just like, "Wow, I'm gonna, you know, my shit's gonna drop off." But now, like, the worry is that like their whole company's gonna go out of business because they can't.
Like, even when things go back to normal, like it's not like people are gonna be like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna have a wedding next week."
Well, yeah, there's that, but she's just like literally worried that this company, you know, they're not like huge like Subway, like they're like regional, you know, mid-sized company, and like I think they're like independently owned, you know, franchise locations and shit. So it's like, you know, they're worried about the whole ship sinking, like.
Oh yeah,
everyone is, and I heard like some of their like conference call the other day, like on Monday or something. It was like chilling. It was like the whole like we like these people in charge want to sound like they have a plan, but there's no plan, and it's like
no,
it's just basically guys, we're all in the same boat, like literally the whole country, the whole world, and so
that has been the most fascinating thing to me, because usually like you know like. Not everybody loves their boss and stuff, but you kind of go to them for answers, and there's no answers.
There's no answer. Nobody who's like, smarter guy in the room here that's gonna like fucking know the answer to this. It's just
You know, for a lot of people, like you know, like the question of like who's gonna keep on getting paid. It's like we honestly don't know. We can guarantee next week's paycheck, but outside of that, who knows?
Also, I know I like just derailed us for like the first 30 minutes of this podcast, but I gotta be honest, like I do like when we have these episodes where it's like we do address things that are going on, like it's so big that you can't just do
there's no way to ignore it. Like it's not a Northeast thing, it's not an American thing, it's not a Western Hemisphere thing, it's the global thing. It's hard. Like what else are we supposed to talk about?
Yeah, I remember I don't think you were on the podcast yet, Earl. Definitely not. Like, I don't think it was like right after Trump got elected. Like, we basically did a whole episode, but just reacting to it. It was like a day or two after. You know what I mean? Like, we were just like, "What the fuck just happened?"
Yeah, I was at a bar getting really wasted.
But it like felt good to like just talk with a bunch of friends about it, like just like what the fuck just happened, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's when we were at a bar getting wasted, because I still can't believe that.
Same, dude. Same. Anyways, sorry.
Tony, when is your primary?
It was supposed to be in June, so
who knows?
We'll see if it actually happens. But
yeah, I'm wondering, because we had a special election on Tuesday, but our primary is until the 28th, which Earl, I think that's the same as yours, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know if that's gonna happen.
If it makes, again, like you see, the silver lining to some of this stuff is that if companies and businesses and the world starts looking at stuff we're doing, and it's like, why do we do it this way? Why can't we have people who vote electronically or by mail instead of having to stand in line for 8 hours?
Wouldn't that be great if that was at least like one thing that changed from this? Is like literally everybody could vote so fucking easily. Like it would change elections, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff that needs to change.
We do have voting by mail now. It wasn't available for Tuesday, but that was the last election in the state that won't have voting by mail.
I think we have it here in Illinois.
But it should, like, and I mean, that's part of the problems with the states in general. Is like, oh yeah, I have this, I have that. Like, some have, you know, same day voter registration, and some states don't. And it's like, why isn't this stuff just uniformed at this point?
Yep, this should just be universal.
A little, you know what? There's part of me that does like that the states run the elections, because.
Oh no,
Let's say this November, Trump can't fix it from the top. He can't do some sort of fucking like rigging of the fucking numbers. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but that's not what I'm saying.
There's a flip side to that. That's also bad. Like that, you could have very Republican states that do strong voter suppression. So it's like,
yeah, I think Earl's just saying that it should just be like, hey, across the board, everybody should have like the same ability to vote the same, like easily.
Like what I was going to initially say is like, I think we do have mail-in ballots here in Illinois. But even so, turnout was way down in like the primary this year. So it's like,
yeah, but to be fair, like yours just is
send
Tuesday.
Just send it down. Send the mail-in ballot to everybody. Just do that, and then that way, like you could at least say everyone had a fair shot of being lazy as fuck and never voting, or you know what I mean. Like they could easily just fucking fill that thing out if everyone got it. Like you don't even have to request.
Sure.
It. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I mean, in this case, I mean, there's a lot of circumstances, but Tuesday was kind of the point where, like, a lot of people were questioning why they were still having it during this outbreak.
Yeah, that was a big, like, back. Yeah, yeah. I kind of agree with the fact that, like, they shouldn't have been encouraging people to go out to vote. Like, and I hate to say that as someone, like, that deeply believes in voting. Like, it's just, it wasn't safe. So you should have done something you should have reacted. But, like, the thing that's, to me, like, funny about, like, people make a big deal about how, like, long lines on election day and shit. It's like, dude, in Illinois, fucking, like, you can vote early for, like, a month. I went, like, on a random day when I got off work, and it took me, like, 2 seconds, because there's no fucking line. So it's like, I don't know. Like, I want to make it, I think everyone should just get a ballot in the mail, but at the same time, it's like, dude, it's so unbelievably easy to vote in some states. Like, the fact that people are just like, I don't have the time is not a good excuse. Like,
well, it really depends on the state, though. Like, in a lot of them, there are very, very few polling places that are very, very far apart, and it's really, really difficult. Like, you have to make a 45-minute drive to vote. That's completely different from me, who just walks by the place on his way to work every day anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, and you also have to realize that, like, some of these hours are just not conducive to that. It's like, oh, it starts at 8, it closes at 7.
And, by the and time I work I get, 9 to 5.
Yeah.
No.
Because, yeah, for me, my polling place is literally, it's not even out of my way to go to work. It's passing my train station. So I'm like, hop on the line, on a presidential election, it's like maybe half an hour. Normal elections is like 5 minutes. I'm not even late for work. Still get 3 hours off.
Again, it's super easy for me, but if I got a ballot in the mail, like if it just showed up, I might just do it that way. I probably would do it that way. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I'm not taking that extra step to go request the ballot, and I'm someone who gives a shit about this. So it's
and
like,
nobody's disagreeing with you. It's just that it got these, because it's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, this needs to be from the federal government. Not that they run the election, but they're like, okay, every state has millions of ballots. Every state has, yeah.
You have to send out ballots, yeah. And I think if they can't get this through right now, when it's like so obvious that that's like, might be a problem in November, like, I don't know. I don't know what to say about Congress right now if they don't, like, really fucking address some things, like, real quick. Like,
yeah, but the counterpoint to that is it might be a problem in November.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but it's a problem depending on what the solution is.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Imagine that. Imagine there's no election. Imagine that.
Oh, no. No.
That's what he's wanted this whole time.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong. I mean, who knows what the Constitution is. But somebody pointed out that technically he wouldn't continue being president because there is a term limit. Yet you're voted in for 4 years. So it's not like if there's no election, he just continues on.
Well, that's the other thing. I've seen a lot of people say, like, what if he loses and refuses to leave? I'm like, I'm pretty sure there's, like, a sergeant in arms or some fucking person that'll come in and fucking escort his ass out. You lost the election. You're not the president anymore, you know? You don't just get to say, I'm still the president. No. Like,
I mean, you'd hope.
I'll go fucking tackle his ass. He's got, like, fucking a foot on me. I'll fucking kick his ass. I don't give a shit.
Well, just wait till he's no longer the president, Jeff. You don't want to do that while he has that.
Well, he's got that Secret Service for life, no matter what. So,
no, I think he only has it for 10 years after he gets out. Now,
oh,
that,
really?
That changed. That,
you saying Jimmy Carter doesn't have?
I thought that had changed with Bush and Obama.
I just always thought that, like, for the rest of your life, you're fucking, like, protected.
I always thought it was like you got like one or two people after the fact. It's not like you have a full detail.
No, yeah, it is. But that's I don't have one or two people. Yeah. Do you? I wish I had one or two people with fucking sunglasses fucking guarding my ass. That'd be awesome, dude.
All right. Well,
video games?
We're experts on that. What? So.
On all that. We know all about it. This is the
video games. They happened this week.
They're happening. Still happening.
Microsoft and Sony put out their specs. One did it in the most boring way possible.
Both of them did, really.
Yeah.
I didn't even catch the Microsoft one.
It's a hard subject to make exciting.
Yeah, which is why I don't get why they... Because they both did with that so far. Because it's not the first time they talked about the specs of these systems. It's the first time they put them in details. And I'm just like, who do you excite with this?
Oh, there are some people who are like, oh, there are those people.
To me, it's meaningless. Like,
right.
I literally have no idea. I know they're both going to be amazing. Getting an Xbox. Doesn't even matter. Because that's the thing. It's hard to impress with specs, I think, at this point. Because it's like, dude, shiz. Like, Xbox One X, amazing. Great. Like, okay, sure, you're saying it's going to be better. Faster load times or whatever. Great. But the numbers mean literally nothing. So.
Just a quick clarification on that, the former President's Act. In 1994, it was reduced to 10 years for presidents taking office after 97. Obama reinstated it in 2013. So
he's like,
Trump does have protection from the Secret Service for life now.
No.
All right, but here's the thing. Does he get Secret Service protection if he's in prison? Because that's ultimately where he needs to end up, in my opinion.
I would he'd have something.
He would get in with the Aryan Brotherhood is what he would do.
Yeah, not to derail our fascinating spec talk, but yeah, so I don't know. What I saw, it looks like both boxes are basically the same.
Yeah.
Xbox might be a little bit
I think the powerful. Xbox is better. My favorite thing I saw, which apparently pissed a lot of people off, is somebody I follow on Twitter, Zhang EX. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, made a chart. He does the he's a Chinese analyst for China. Yep.
And he had the chart with the PlayStation 5 stats, the Xbox Series 1X stats, and then Animal Crossing on the Switch.
I did see that one. It was good.
I didn't see and that. It, I didn't get, it was like a thread he did or something.
Yeah,
it was just a graphic. Yeah. It was just like the specs for the PS5, the specs for the Xbox Series 1, and then for Nintendo Switch, awesome. It says the picture Animal Crossing. And I mean, ultimately, that's my takeaway. It's like one of these has games that's right now. The other one, for some odd reason, well, actually, we did get announcements of games for the Xbox Series 1X.
Well, the funny thing about it is, like, not only does that make a point on like a gameplay level, I think that Animal Crossing looks fantastic. Like, I've watched like a bunch of reviews of it, and I'm like, oh my god, that game is beautiful. And like, I've had so many experiences like that on the Switch where I'm like, this looks great, and this is like half powered to what's out there. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it shows, and Nintendo's done this repeatedly. It shows how much art style and art design
partially can really help. A lot of ports look fine on the Switch to me. Like, they really do. Like,
and I think that's the point that you're making, is that it looks good. Could it look better? Yes. But for most people, it's good enough.
Right.
And that's all that matters. And we've seen it time and time again. I think it's always been a thing. But I think really when you started to see it really hardcore in the mainstream was with the Wii versus the 360 and the PS3. Not saying that the Wii games looked as good. Like, you know, they couldn't compare graphically. But people didn't care. The mass majority have never cared.
I think I'm... Yes, I agree with all that, but like I'm saying, like the degree to which like you could tell a difference even anymore is kind of like there's a few games. There's a like I think Red Dead Redemption 2 between the Xbox One and Xbox One X looks drastically different.
I will say for the most part,
I think games look great. Like, you know what I mean? Like in general,
I think games should get great, but I will say that I mentioned last week when I played the Final Fantasy VII R remake, that game looks absolutely gorgeous. And to me, that's a game I can't envision like, looking the same on the Switch. But at the same time, it's not like I play Switch games. I'm like, ugh, oh my gosh, my eyes.
Right, they're not ugly. They're just, but it's also it. Like I think one that to really look at is because it is on all three systems is The Witcher 3, right? Like there's a difference between what it looks like on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One to what it looks like on the Switch, like.
I have not played that on the Switch, so yeah.
It is playable on the Switch. It is a technical masterpiece on the Switch, but it is not as good looking a game.
Yeah.
And it's noticeable. Like
Take like what you think is like the best looking game on Xbox One X. I don't know what the fuck that would be. But I don't know, take what was the game you were just saying, Earl?
Final Fantasy VII Remastered.
All right, so like, how much better do you think that's going to look on the next gen system? You know what I mean? Like, we're at that like limit, and it's like it's just going to level off more and more. Like,
I don't disagree with you, especially in the sense that, and we've had this discussion several times now, in the fact that the human hours and sacrifices it takes to get those improved graphics and details don't seem worth it in the grand scheme of things.
Sure.
Yeah, no, it's true.
I think that's, for me, some of the issue with these reveals is that we haven't really seen what that upgrade is going to be. Like, hey, maybe ray tracing really is like this fucking amazing thing that's going to knock our socks off but I don't think we've seen it in action on these boxes. We haven't really seen anything in action on these boxes. And it's just like, it's more powerful.
And the weird thing is, we are almost a year since both. No, we're more than a year than I think the PlayStation 5 has been announced. and we're about a year until the Xbox Series One. No, the Xbox was announced 2 years ago.
No, this.
The no, they official... announced it.
It was really
that they,
like
that they were working on
17 it. Years ago. It feels like at this point, but
no, they officially announced that they were working on it at the end of E3 2018. But they revealed it last year at E3 2019.
Yeah, I mean, and everyone knew that. I mean, everyone knows that they're working on shit.
Always, like, yeah.
Oh yeah,
but I was working on their next one.
You know? Oh yeah, you're always working on your next one after the first one, after the current one ships. But they were the ones who talked about it. It's not like it was just rumored.
Right, right.
But yes, okay, we'll give them E3 2009. But the fact that it's been a year for both of these systems, and we've seen like one free-to-play game that was at the Game Awards that you probably all forgot was announced there.
It was
that sword fighting game, right?
Yes. From Gearbox. Or they're publishing it. They're not developing it.
Right.
But outside of that, like, we've not really seen anything. And I mean, it's a cliche. It's been said to death. But software sells hardware.
Yep.
And the fact that we're not seeing software is just kind of disconcerting.
I mean, this is very. Actually, it's not very early. Like, they're coming out this year, right?
Yeah, so it's like
hopefully they're gonna show stuff. There's obviously there's gonna be stuff there, right?
I like if you were going to kind of like, hey, here's our system. Like it should be like, hey, here's our system, and
yeah,
this is
sure.
like something we can do on it. Like
this is the big game that you're buying the system for. Also, you know what I mean? Like,
right? And
good system has a system seller at launch.
Yeah, and we don't know either of these games are going to have for launch, and. Ultimately, that's fine, but I do look at Sony coming out and their backwards compatibility blunder. Let's call it that. Like where it's the top 100 PS4 games are going to be playable on the PS5 to start with. No word on PS1 through 3 back compat. Like it's.
What about like the straight store purchases, like all those like tiny like
games on the store? Right, you know? Now, only the top 100 games. I don't know how they're classifying that.
Could be anything. Are
guaranteed to work at launch on the PS5.
I will just say this. Hindsight being what it is, I do find it funny because I remember during the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 and
Wii. Yeah, like people did not leg up on them by being like, it's simple. Like, is that where you're going at?
Well, not even that. I just remember a lot of people were like, oh, I'm not going to buy digital games on the Wii because I don't know if it's going to transfer over to the next system.
Oh, yeah.
And the system that you honestly had to worry about was the PlayStation 3. It's like your PlayStation 3 games didn't really carry over to your PlayStation 4. And now it seems like your PlayStation 4 games aren't carrying over to your PlayStation 5. And it's even worse in hindsight when Microsoft is just like, yeah, not only are your games forward compatible, but if your game gets a port on our system, you get that too.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think people are, like, underestimating. I don't know if it's going to make a difference overall, but for me, like, that's a huge thing, dude. It just feels like...
Especially not knowing...
I'm into this ecosystem, and I get my shit. Like, I'm good.
Right, and especially like, not knowing what new games are, right? Like, if Sony came out and went,
confusing.
Like...
It's confusing, so it's just like, yeah, you buy this game, and it's yours. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just kind of cross-platform between their shit, right? Like, that's kind of what they're going for, right?
Yeah. Like, it's just, you have an Xbox library just like you have an iTunes library. And when iTunes upgrades to iTunes 14 or whatever, I don't know what they're at now.
Yeah, if you have the device to play,
yeah, you don't lose your shit. Like, you keep all your stuff. You'll keep all your digital, like, you know, whatever you have in your digital library for Xbox, that carries over. Whereas, like, Sony's very fractured in the way they handle their digital libraries right now.
Dude, like, Sony could win me back. Like, I don't think I'm going to buy a PS5. I just don't care about enough of their games enough. But if they, like, were like, you know what? You buy a PS5 and you can subscribe to PlayStation service, whatever. And it's like, you get all their PS2 games. Like, oh man, dude, I'd be in on that. Like, just being able to have that huge kind of Netflix style library of their stuff.
Sure. And well, also, that's the other thing I think Sony needs is a Game Pass equivalent.
They have such a huge opportunity there to even be better than Microsoft on that.
I am shocked that they haven't done that yet. Yeah. It makes no sense.
They have such a vast legacy library that,
like, dude, the PS2 had how many fucking games on it? Like,
insane amount.
Yeah, but you also have to realize that one of the perks and downsides of being in the PlayStation ecosystem, until like the back half of the PlayStation 3, was that a lot of their games are third-party titles, and that doesn't necessarily mean that third parties are going to go along with it. I mean, we see that even with Nintendo and the Virtual Console, like, you know, let's ignore the Switch for right now, but the Wii and the Wii U, like, had a ton of Nintendo games, but that doesn't mean Capcom and Konami and Tecmo and all those other companies were willing to play ball with all their library.
Yeah. And you see it, you know, with the Xbox stuff where they had to negotiate deals to get some of that some of those games backwards compatible on the Xbox One from the 360 because they're not their games, so they need to get the wrapper and be able to upgrade them onto the system. They needed to get like Bethesda to sign off and Capcom to sign off and shit like that. So I'm sure it'll be a lot of work for Sony. It's just, it would be awesome if they could just include like a really cool emulator that I can put my discs in and play off of it like that even.
Yes. Okay. But I'm not seeing it, so I can't speak to it. But I've heard enough about it to say that it seems like they picked the worst possible way to reveal this information to people.
Yeah, so basically it was a GDC talk, which, to be fair, they did promote it as a technical deep dive.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Except that you are still making it public.
Yeah, this wasn't a private talk and then like the numbers leaked out. This was still something that went out to the public and they promoted it on like the PlayStation blog and the PlayStation Twitter. And they should have, like, if this is how they wanted to present it, then they should have also had some sort of marketing, you know, reel behind it as well. Somebody besides, you know, Mark Cerny, who, you know, God love him, but the man is a little dry.
But yeah, it's
Jeff, not dry, by the way.
It was one of those things where it seems like the old guard of PlayStation, like, you know, like, it's not something we talk about as much, but there's a lot of there was a lot of turnover in the Sony executive level this generation, and this is the first time they're kind of launching a system, and it doesn't seem like, I mean, you love them or hate them, Sony always had the pizzazz when it came to these big, important things, and it doesn't seem like they have that. I mean, aside from scaling back all their events last year, and now kind of introducing it to the world in like this most boring press conference, it seems so anti-Sony.
It is weird. And then to come out what effectively was 2 days after, you know, Microsoft dropped their, you know, their specs and you know, the Digital Foundry article made its way out there, to come out and basically be like, yeah, like our box is maybe not as good. It's not bad. It's
not
pretty
bad.
It's pretty comparable.
Almost as good. Pretty close.
And then not to have anything be like, hey, this is why you should want a PS4, a PS5. That seemed weird. It's really weird.
I don't know.
Maybe
everyone is cognizant of the fact that people are watching this stuff, but not really watching, like maybe focused on other stuff, and maybe they're just not putting their best.
Yeah. It's like maybe the news they wanted out there, you know, the boxes are pretty equal.
Right.
But allow it to like slip through the cracks because shit's going crazy in the rest of the world right now. I don't know. But yeah, so
And it's not the same thing. It's a very different beast. But I mean, since we, you know, all three did have presentations this week, and you get what Microsoft did, you get what Sony did, and then you get what Nintendo did with the Indie World Direct, and it's like, okay, one of you have a personality at least,
right?
So I'm happy that they've done that. Microsoft. It's been weird with the Xbox Series One, because, like I said, announced at E3 last year. We had that random reveal at the Game Awards, which is actually kind of nifty. It's like, oh, we're just going to drop that our console. Here's what it looks like. Here's what it's named. Here's a game for it. And then to kind of go back and make, here's a technical breakdown of it. And it's like, okay. But they were wise enough to be like, okay, we're also going to offer backwards compatibility. And here's this fancy new feature that you want. This suspend game feature for multiple games. You can go back to them instantly. And the load times are almost going to be diminished.
Yeah, I mean, the load times is more valuable to me, but
it's the worst thing about games right now. It's the,
yeah.
You just spend like 5 minutes loading every time you want to play. It's not awesome.
Oh, Red Dead and Grand Theft Auto. Oh my god.
Any game where you have to like switch between maps or like fast travel and have like the load. No.
You know, games that have like really fast load times is kind of like, I noticed that, or I'm just like, yes, thank you for not doing that. I can't think of any off the top of my head right now, but
it's because there aren't any.
No, you know, there are, but yeah. The ones that are the worst is like games where you die frequently and there's like a fucking 30-second load time, like, you know, any like super hard game like that, like especially when it's like a 2D platformer, you're like, why is this taking so long to load?
That was something that was great about Celeste, like you died, you were instantly back in the game.
Yeah, that's how it has to be if it's that style of game. Could you imagine that game if it was like fucking 30-second load time?
That would have been like nobody would have finished that game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like the difference. It's like when I remember when Super Meat Boy came out, and Super Meat Boy has the same kind of like you die, you instantly respawn, and you start again. And then people would compare to like, Super Mario Brothers U, where it's like you die, you get kicked out of the level. He goes through his animation. You have to start the level again. It's like every time you do it, it's like a 20-second loop. And it's like, yeah, that kind of gets tired.
Yeah, it's annoying.
There's been multiple games I've quit this year because of that. I just literally, like, off the top of my head, I'm like, what the fuck games were they? But like, I've had several this year where I'm like, you know what? That's too much. It's too long. Like, it's bullshit. You're gonna make a game where I die all the time, and it takes that long. Fuck you.
Well, load times, yep. Fun stuff. Was there any other news this week?
I mean, we covered a lot of it in the first half of the show, so.
Did you talk about anything? Did you talk about anything in particular with the
Everything's on fire.
I know what Exit the Gun Jump is coming to is out on the Switch. The game I talked about a few weeks ago from PAX. A Skyrocket is out on the Switch,
right,
which I am excited for.
There was like a half-second clip of that, so like I barely caught it.
I thought it's out now.
Blue Fire, I thought, looked really cool.
That looks really good.
What is it, like Summer and Mara or something? It looks really cool to me. Anyway, like the...
It was the
farming game.
Farming on an island game.
You know, there's a lot of games in that genre now, but like it looks neat to me. I thought that Baldo looked all right.
Yeah. I thought a lot of those games are interesting. It's always great to kind of see indies kind of get that shine, especially being that it is still kind of a dry period in gaming. Go on.
I was going to say, I was surprised that, like, I think I said this to Chris or whatever, like, you know, a lot of indie games are like 2D, kind of 8-bit looking, like side scroller type or like Metroid type games, right? And it's like, a lot of the games they showed here were indie, but they were like 3D, like trying to do 3D platformers, 3D like farming games. Like I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was Baldo, the one that kind of looks like a studio Ghibli film.
I think so.
It was like kind of that isometric view, kind of, right? Like where it's like Diablo-ish. Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Maybe I'm
thinking with like puzzles and shit.
I know what you're thinking about, Chris, but I like that RPG they were talking about. I don't think it's Baldo though, but I thought that looked really cool too.
Well, Baldo had like really kind of anime-ish looking cutscenes. I want to say. Or unless I'm mixing that up with another game. But
No, it is. It is. I just looked it up.
When they show the gameplay, though, it looked like a top-down, like, kind of dungeon crawler type thing. An emphasis on puzzles and shit. Unless I'm mixing it up.
Because this looks like a 3D, like, almost, like, Zelda-ish.
I was thinking, like, top-down Zelda-ish. Am I on drugs right now?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I am.
I don't know. It's a self-shaded adventure game. A fun style complements a Zelda-inspired adventure.
Very Zelda-inspired. Wink, wink.
It's evidently also coming to PS4 and Xbox One.
Is the camera behind the character? Or is it top down? Like I'm saying, I'm wondering.
It doesn't look top down. It doesn't look Diablo-ish, at least.
Okay.
It looks maybe like it's pulled back a little. It's not definitely not over the shoulder, but
okay. 2.5D-ish, maybe something like that, or
no. It's definitely like you're exploring a 3D area. It's just I don't know. It's hard to explain.
All right, whatever. We'll move on.
Also, I'm not seeing it in motion. I'm just seeing screenshots. So, who the hell knows? But yeah, that one. That the art style at least of that looked. And then what was the other one? Blue fire. That one looked pretty cool. Like had a nice dark vibe to it.
Plus, 3D platformer. Like it looked like a decent 3D platformer, which you don't get a lot of.
And the one that Earl talked about, that's kind of like a breakout, but a shooter. That one looked pretty cool too.
Most of them looked pretty good. I thought there was a thing I was like, yeah. Especially like a lot of them were like summer release dates, so.
Something to look forward to over the summer. Like I mean, Sony kind of has it locked down on the AAA front for the next 3 months. But after that, it'll be a wasteland again. So,
what do they got besides Last of Us? Or is that even come out?
I don't know. Final Fantasy VII in April.
Ghost is
in
me.
Yeah. And okay. Ghost is in June.
Okay.
So. Three straight months of sure, yeah. Square said that physical copies of Final Fantasy VII may be delayed.
That was the other piece of news I was going to mention is that Final Fantasy VII and to a smaller degree Animal Crossing may not get to you on time because of everything going on in the world.
Dude, Animal Crossing is going to sell so well this year after, like, every other
game. Well, we won't know.
Laid forever.
Because I'm assuming a lot of Animal Crossing sales are going to come digital. Because people can't leave their houses. So.
Yeah. Well, if you didn't pre-order it, you're probably getting it digitally.
Yeah. I did not pre-order. But digital will be fine for that game.
It's a small download, too.
I was going to mention that to Jeff at the start of the show, and I forgot because I am weak and there's really nothing for me to do in my house. I pre-ordered Animal Crossing last night, so it should knock in, 45 minutes or so?
Yes.
We'll see how that goes.
Do I have you on Switch? I don't think I do.
I don't think so either.
I have ordered two.
We'll be like, "Are you?" everyone post their shit on Twitter tonight, and we'll add each other and whatnot.
Because I was honestly just sitting there, like, "What am I supposed to do this weekend?"
Doom. Fucking well, both
Doom and Doom 64.
Okay, I got a huge question. I know this is like not show worthy, but I gotta ask it. All right, if I pre-ordered Doom Eternal on Xbox, how do I get Doom 64? Do I just go and download it, or did they send me a code somehow?
I have no idea, Jeff.
Did you pre-order Doom?
I did not pre-order Doom, so I'll just pay the $5 to get Doom.
I mean, that's ultimately what I will do, but I'm like, did they send me a message on Xbox with the code? Did they send it to my email? Like,
I imagine they probably send you a message on Xbox because of your pre-order. Because I think they did the Gears of War pre-order bonus stuff.
Honestly,
that's generally how it works, yeah.
Part of me is like, I want Doom 64 more than Doom Eternal or whatever.
I've never played Doom 64. So, neither have I. I haven't played Doom Eternal, obviously, either. But like, yeah. Doom 64 is like this weird like anomaly.
And it's like, it was developed by a different studio and also was supposedly great. So I'm like, you know, and it looks totally in the style of Doom 1 and 2. So I'm like, I want to play this game very badly. I have not played it either.
Yeah, I want to try it, and I want to play Doom Eternal too. So
that does look. You watch any reviews of that? It looks pretty good.
No, I haven't. But I did replay Doom this past little bit, and that was fun.
Yeah, I can't remember like for sure about Doom 1, but like the reviews I've seen for this one, it says like it has a lot of like, kind of like hidden like collectible type shit, but like with like really cool platforming to get to it. Like
there was, so I, on this playthrough that I just did, I went through with a guide to find all the collectibles, and like one, some of them are really, really well hidden. And I don't know how you would find them unless you're exploring every inch of the map. And then like, hey, can I jump down there? I wonder if I can jump down there. Oh, I can. Oh, look, it's kind of like, in a lot of ways, it's kind of like Mario Odyssey, where it's like, can I climb up there? Oh, I can. And then when you get up there, there's a star.
That's like, what, I'm sorry. One of the reviews I watched for the new one said, it's like Odyssey, where it's like fucking anywhere you look at, if you think maybe there might be something there, there is.
Yeah. It's like a very well designed, and like stuff I didn't even know was in the game. So like there are these levers that you pull in Doom 2016, and they open up doors, and those doors bring you to a classic Doom maps, which once you walk into them, they unlock, and then you can play through map as like 2016 Doom guy.
Absolutely. I only found like one or two of those, but yes.
There's one for each level.
Like, I know, man. I know.
It's nuts.
It's like a little room. Where it's like stepping back into the past. It's crazy. Yeah. So like, I seem to remember you like not being super impressed by it back when it came out. So like, did you like it more in your second playthrough?
I did like it more this time around. Okay. And I did like, I liked it when it first came out, but I don't know if there was like, it just didn't quite grab me, but playing through it again, I was like, maybe I just wasn't in the mood for it when it came out.
It's got the Doom vibe down. So like, were you into the Doom vibe? Like, you know, like that, like demons metal, like,
oh, it definitely has that. And it also has like the speed of original Doom.
But like, were you into that back in the day, like back in the 90s, where you're like, yeah, hell yeah.
No,
I was a little bit.
Not necessarily. Like, I wasn't sitting around like, you know, headbanging my way playing Doom. But, I mean, the music of Doom is awesome. And the gameplay and design of it is pretty great too. It does have that vibe though.
That like, aesthetic it's fun to me. Like, I'm not a metalhead or anything, but like, it's fun for me, like in a movie or a game, something like that, where it's like just going for that motif, you know.
When it's funny, like they gave like, you know, in Doom and like, in classic Doom, the Doom Slayer doesn't really have a personality. He's just kind of like a conduit for you to shoot shit. But they give him a personality. He doesn't talk in New Doom, but he does have a personality, and it's just like basically like the most metal personality.
Punch.
Yeah, I'm gonna punch and rip shit apart. And like everything, I'm gonna punch like the control paddle. I'm gonna punch, like, anything you could think of, like he's just like trying to rip apart or destroy. It's pretty amusing. Like they have a nice they have a nice feel for it in that game. And brought it forward real well.
I think like another thing that's like kind of like obvious thing that everyone says about it, but like it feels so different from other shooters where it's like this constant ballet where you're just kind of like shooting things, running and grabbing stuff. Like it's not like a Call of Duty or anything.
Yeah,
where, like you're taking cover. It's
and
like
I
you're
think
in their face. It's cool.
I think
it's
when like it arcane. Came out, my issue with it coming out, like you know, playing so. So much Call of Duty and so much Battlefield and like these more not necessarily technical shooters because those games can be a little, you know, cartoony as well, but they're slower paced in a sense. And they don't necessarily encourage you to move around. And I think that was what my problem was when I played it the first time was I was like, you know, standing in a corner trying to protect myself instead of just moving around and just going like crazy. Like it's all right that you lose half of your armor and part of your health because like if you stun the big guy in the corner, you can go up do a glory kill and you'll get your armor and health back and you can just continue on. In fact, standing in the corner is bad because you're just putting yourself in at risk.
Yeah, like get their like go balls to the wall with your ammo and get in their face. Like it's like this constant like rush.
It's okay that like you know you lose all your ammo and your shotgun because you can switch your plasma rifle or your rail gun or the chain gun and it encourages you to switch weapons and move around and. Whereas like Call of Duty and Battlefield are like, no, like you want to stay behind cover and even Gears to an extent, like which does Absolutely, encourage yeah. you to move around, but it's like stay in cover, like Doom.
It's
is very
a cover
much,
shooter. Yeah.
It was the one. There is no cover. Like, what are you doing? Don't hide, get out there and fight these guys and kill them. And once you kill them, you'll get your reward and you'll be back to full health and back to full ammo. Cause it's not a survival horror game. It's an arcade game. So, it's I think it's very well designed that way.
So you're psyched then?
Yeah, like I left playing Doom this past weekend. I was like, yes, you know what? I'm pumped for this. I really want this game.
Yeah.
It's a game that I think is at the right time because
you want to shoot stuff.
Yeah, it's just like
mindlessly.
Yes. Yeah. Like it's I don't need to think about it. I could just blow shit up and like, be satisfied doing it.
Doom is a total like it's just a total like you know, fun video game, the game. You know what I mean? Like it's
yeah.
like that's what it is.
Doom and Animal Crossing, two totally like, different types of things.
They're like that are both perfect games. For the time.
Yes.
It's perfect so for crazy. This. Like they're both perfect for the time.
Because like Animal Crossing, it's going to be so nice to like hang out with friends outside again. I mean, like imagine being able to do that.
Hang out in groups of eight. Oh my god! Just getting dark, guys.
Don't cry. I played Doom. Earl, you played something. That you didn't talk about last week.
I played two things I didn't talk about last week. Part of COVID was being knocked. Part of being knocked down means that I get to play games with people, and I will play anything. I literally re-downloaded, I should say, the Halo Master Chief Collection tonight. I've not played that, but that thing takes up like all of the space on my hard drive.
I did that like a month ago. It was fun.
It takes something like 115 gigs.
It's a lot, but you get to play all the Halo.
Yeah, so I'm gonna run through that. Like yeah, I'm not going to say my work routine because nobody from work knows, but you never know. But I paid this weekend, I paid Trin, the original, which is a co-op physics-based action platformer where you can play as a wizard, a thief, or a warrior. Yeah, a knight. We played through, we just played the mode where you can kind of switch any character free. You can also have it so that you're kind of locked into one character throughout the course of the game.
That would be tough.
Yeah, because it's a game that, like, each character has their own unique ability. The thief can, she has, like, a grappling hook that allows her to get to higher places. She uses the bow and arrow. The magician or the wizard is able to conjure platforms to get different places. And the knight really is kind of your brute force. And there's certain puzzles and segments of the game that you need each of their ability to get through. And it's so much easier when you can just kind of free switch through it. It's also a very short game. We afternooned it by accident in about 5 hours. I mean, I guess 5 hours isn't an accident.
No, but, that's
also what she said. Sorry, that's so fitting.
But yeah, I mean, it was. I'm gonna pick my words carefully. It was an enjoyable time playing a video game that had some really nice puzzles to it. Some creative bosses, and you know, it's an RPG. It has RPG elements, and you can tell it was crafted perfectly. That you never, you level up well enough that you're never overpowered, but you're also never you never feel like the game hits a block where you're feeling like you're overwhelmed because everything else is much higher level than you are. There were parts that were difficult to get through, but that was more the platforming itself than like enemy encounters. So yeah, it was a good time, and I think it was on sale for like $5, so can't go wrong.
No, that's I played that 2 years ago. I thought it was quite fun. I played it by myself though. So. Did I hear you say you installed the Master Chief Collection?
I did. I've not played it yet, though. I mean, I've played it before, but right. I installed it because my friend's like, we should play through Halo again. Like, you know what? I got nothing to do with my days, so why not?
It's fair. Yeah, I've been playing Reach. That game
That's
is
great. Playing campaign,
really, really, yeah. The campaign game is so good.
Remember, I was texting you about it. I was playing it a couple weeks ago.
Like, yeah,
not long ago at all. Yeah, I literally just do what Earl did, where I was like, "Yeah, it's on Game Pass. I'm gonna download that shit. Let's fuck around with." And yeah, Halo Reach was fantastic.
I think I'm gonna run through the whole series on there again. You know, we are getting Halo 6 this year, so hopefully,
please.
Yeah.
Oh God.
It'll be nice to have a new Halo game to play multiplayer with again. Because
I think it's coming. I think that is going to come no matter what. Maybe, I don't know.
It's a cross generation game, so like you'll be able to play it on regardless of whether the Series X comes out this year.
Well, I'm talking about the game itself. Like,
yeah, we'll get Halo Infinite this year.
I don't know.
I had a ton of fun playing Halo 5 with you guys, though. So,
dude, we gotta play tons of the new Halo.
Yep.
Like I know I always say I'm gonna play with you guys, but when Halo,
and you never do ever.
Jeff did play some Halo with us.
I did try to play GTA, but all you guys were like soured on it. Like, yeah, I'm not.
I didn't even try it. When were you out there trying to play GTA?
I was fucking messaging you guys like, "Let's go, man! I'm ready to go." Like, and
I didn't. I don't think I ever got the message that you were like. I know you said you had downloaded it, but I didn't. I'm sorry.
No,
if I ignored you saying that you were ready to play.
I did say a couple times, like, "Oh, I'm going to play if you guys want to play." But like,
I wanted to try that heist.
I remember I soured on the game myself real quick, where I was like, I thought it was really cool, but then the load times, like...
The load times are brutal.
Ass. And the game would also crash on me a bunch. I was just like, all right. That's
not good.
You know, so then, like, crashes, you got to restart your Xbox, like, usually a hard reset of your Xbox. Then after all that, the game has to reload again. Like, the whole GTA game has to reload again. And that takes, like, fucking 3-4 minutes. Like,
way too long.
And then to load every map is minutes. And it's just, yeah.
That's fair. I had reinstalled it because my son had been playing it, but he has fallen off of it as well, so...
But it's also just like, I would love to play with you guys, but like, it seems like that game is like a super big investment in terms of like, if you want to like actually like own, even like what you said, you bought like a arcade or something. Like,
yeah, and I'm not high enough level to actually be the CEO of the arcade that I bought. So it's like, what the fuck? Like, I'm not even high enough level to start the setup to do the casino heist. It's like, I don't know. I think I might be.
I think you were supposed to do smaller businesses before the arcade. From what I remember, like, there was one point where I was playing it, I was like, Chris kind of like jumped ahead. He should have gone for that arcade at first. Like, you're supposed to be a higher level for it. But
yeah, it's like but that's the thing. Like, I wanted to go in and try the casino heist, and instead they're like, oh well, we want you to play through the online story to get to, like, no, I just want to fucking try this cool thing that you have. I don't want to invest all my time into playing your game. Like
it is fun, like a full game, which I think is like a neat idea, but like, I don't know, dude. For me, it's mostly like the load times shit. Like if the load times were fine. And you could also just goof off with your friends if you want. Then it would be awesome. Like, it was really fun in a lot of ways, but...
Yeah. So, Tony, what have you been playing this week?
Lots and lots of Apex Legends.
You won some more games, huh?
I have. I think I'm up to 7 wins on the season.
Nice.
Which, yeah. Yeah, we win more and more. I kind of soured on Lifeline a little. Her abilities don't really suit for, like, the end game. Because all she does is call in the care package and the heal, which you never have enough time to use. So I switched to Bangalore.
Uh-huh.
So the smoke and the bombardment. Both very key at the end. And I don't know. I like to, like, I've become a shotgun and, like, submachine gun player. So, like, popping the smoke and, like, popping in and out of the smoke, it's nice. I don't know. I've played a lot of Apex Legends now. I am not tired of it yet, which is a little surprising because it's just the same mode over and over and over again.
And over again.
But
it's a very addicting noob.
Yeah.
And it probably helps that you're winning some too, right?
Yeah. If I never ever won, that would really suck. I think
how much of it is you winning, and how much of it is Walter winning?
So I pretty much do whatever he tells me to do, and I feel that makes me more successful. So it's nice to have Walt carry me around with actual skill. I have noticed he tends to, like, I'll take somebody's shields out, and then he'll get the kill. What's going on over there?
Do all the damage. I did that in one. I was playing with randoms, and I ended up with like 4 or 5 kills, but only like 300 total damage.
Like, I'm getting to the end of matches, and we'll be like, we'll win, and he'll have like 4 kills, and I'll have none. I'm like, how did I do 600 damage and not kill anyone?
And you look over at Walt, and he has 2 kills. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Have you tried any of the Call of Duty one yet, or?
I have it downloaded. I am ready to play with you guys.
So. I have it downloaded too. Guess we should try it. Jeff, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a little game called Ori and the Will of the Wisp. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Nope, not at all.
Well, it's
Yes, I have.
Set us up here, Chris. Like,
it's the sequel to Ori and the Blind Forest. it's pretty much another one of those games. Like, so Ori and the Blind Forest, you know, a
2D, very beautiful Metroid type game. This is a little more blown out than that, but it is still pretty much a 2D, beautiful looking Metroid type game. There's just some extra stuff to do in it.
More side quests.
Yeah, like the
map is bigger.
More abilities. Way more abilities. Some that you can just outright buy with the currency you get. But the ones that are necessary to advance are all like in levels.
Yes. I don't know. I think one thing that's great about this game, I think it's probably true of the original, is like how solid the controls feel. Like, it just feels good moving around as this character. Like, they got all the hops and shit. Like, very early on in this one, you have like double jump, fucking ability to stick to walls, and everything you add onto that feels good and it makes sense. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And yes, yeah, there are the level specific shit, but it just always feels like you're building on to this set of moves, and like as you get every new like move in the set, like it just the game just feels better. It's like now you could triple jump, now you could fucking launch yourself into the air after a triple jump, like you could
boost off of it, you can take an enemy or a projectile from an enemy and use that to propel yourself.
And it's just like once you have that whole tool set, it's like one of the best feeling like 2D platformers. It really is. Like it just that moveset is insane. Like it's everything you could dream of by the end of it. It's just like I can breathe underwater. I can dash underwater. Like
I do think yesterday you had said you kind of like stopped.
I stopped at the final area. I already done like the sandworm, like which was like the kind of the big climax of the game, and now it's like you're doing this other area that's gonna be like the big climax.
Yeah, there's like a final boss after the area you're at, and then that's pretty much the game. That area though, and this is something I think it's really cool design is that hey, you've been doing all this, you've learned all these moves. And now we're just going to put them all to the test.
Yeah, it kind of like branches out, and it seems like different things are kind of testing different things, but you also might have to use multiple things on each one of the, like.
And that's where for me, I beat the game, so it's like it is doable. Like I was able to do it.
Yeah.
But it does become like because you have so many moves that it's like. Oh God, I got to do this. And like I felt I was like kind of turning my hands into claws, like trying to remember all the button moves I had to do.
Sometimes to attach it to an object midair, it's the right bumper. Sometimes it's the left bumper.
Like, right, depending upon what you're trying to attach,
that to me is like a bit much. It should just be any sort of grappling type shit. Just be mapped to right bumper or whatever. Yep. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's something like I think
remember the which material I have to attach to and then press the right button for that material. And like, it's a neat idea, but it becomes overused by the end where it's like, it's hard. Your brain just.
It's not working.
Like, it breaks my brain. I'm
like, it's just like, it's exactly how I felt. And it's like, and in a lot of these cases, like, I do think for a lot of it, the checkpointing is okay. But then
there's no checkpoints in the hardest parts of the game.
Yeah. But then like these areas, these platforming areas where you are testing all of them, it is very much I need to, do this perfectly to get there. And then maybe like I can, like if I could sit down, it'll checkpoint for me.
Yeah.
But a lot of these areas, like there is no protection until you can get to the end of it. And it can get a little frustrating.
It can. It absolutely can. And like, I've just reached like probably the most frustrating part. And I was like, all right, you know what? I don't want to get mad at this game, so I'm going to switch. Like, I got Animal Crossing coming out in 24 hours, so I'm good. But,
it's, it is a game that I am glad I you know, played all the way through, and like beating it, it was like, yeah, that was super satisfying because it's legitimately challenging. It's not, I don't think it's unfair, but it is, no. It is a challenging game towards the end. And that does maybe poke at it a bit because the game is this beautiful, like inviting game.
Yeah.
And then it throws these like super hard challenges at you, which I found fine, but I could see some people like, oh, I want to play this like nice, cute platform. Oh, what the fuck? because it does get tough.
I think I agree with everything that you said. Like, that's kind of how I feel about the game. It's like, probably one of the only drawbacks I have on it is it's a little too challenging at times near the end. But, like, I don't know. That also depends on, like, so many factors, like, or, you know, how good you are or whatever. Like, I think it pushes it a little bit. It pushes it in every area. Like, it's always a game where you, like, you'll feel a little stressed by, like, the new thing that you're trying to deal with.
Yeah.
But you always can surpass it until, like, it's near the end, it's just like, all right, man, I don't want to do this. Like,
it's very smart design. I know you hated this area.
The dark area? Like
this dark area. But one of the things, like you can feel when you're going to die, right? So when you're running through this area, the darkness starts to envelop Ori, who is the spirit. So, like, Ori glows.
Basically, you got to stay in light. Like, you got to carry a lantern or,
follow a firefly or something. Yeah. So like, when you do step into the darkness, your light starts to shrink and eventually it'll swallow you up. So, but the game does, like, it's just spaced out just right. That it's like, if you hit these,
nerve-wracking.
It is, but it's also, it's like when you do it, you're like, hell yeah, that was awesome.
Absolutely nerve-wracking. Just trying to, like, yeah, move from point to point. But, like, if you stood still anywhere too long, even on the, like, let's say you're in a zone where there's a lantern lit and there's like a circle of light, right? If you're on the edge of that and you stand there too long, the darkness will come and swallow you and kill you.
Yeah.
Like, even though, like, you think you're in the light. So it's like, it drove me nuts. I hated that area.
You have Rumble turned off on your controller, don't you?
In fact, I had to switch controllers, and somehow, like, that setting got switched on my Xbox, like, randomly. And immediately I went back into Xbox settings and was like, controllers do not vibrate.
That is a big tell in that area. is with the vibration. So, like, as your timer is starting to run out, your controller will lightly vibrate, which gives you that, like, so you'll know, like, oh, I'm not close enough to the light. You can move over a little bit to the left.
So, but, like, all right, I think a cool example of an upgrade you get is in that area. So in this area where you have to avoid darkness, you'll get an upgrade that, like, creates a circle of light around you.
Yeah.
And it consumes this meter that you have for magic, right? But, like, you could use that later. It hurts bosses. Like, you could fucking turn that on.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Dude, yeah. If a boss was ever, like, within striking distance of me, it was getting damaged by my light.
That's pretty awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, that was the one power. Like,
I guess you thought it was worthless. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It was like, this is a cool power, but
I had it equipped at a boss at one point, and I hit it, and it fucking worked. And I was like, oh, shit. And it worked on every boss.
Nice. That was cool. Like, they did think that one all the way through that.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, because this is a little weird.
Because it lasts way longer. Like, let's say you did the one that was called, like, fire or something, like, where it would just, like, be a burst.
Yeah.
No, this was like, you could turn on a light that was around you, and anytime any enemy was within striking distance would, or, you know, if they're in the circle, they're getting hurt. Awesome.
So, Jeff and I both very much liked Ori, if you couldn't tell.
Really?
Well,
I
like,
did
we
not
had
pick some, that up.
We had some criticisms early on, but, like, ultimately, I think that game is amazing. I think both of them are amazing, but I think this one's better.
So I had heard people talking about it, and actually people who haven't finished the game talking about it.
saying, oh, it's trying to go for the same vibe that the first story did. And to circle back, I guess, about 2 weeks when I just played Ori and the Blind Forest, that game starts off very Up, like the movie Up, like where it's very sad opening.
Devastating.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Like, and I heard people talking about this one. They're trying to go for that same vibe because you're like little Al friend gets hurt, and midway through she gets like pretty critically injured, and I wasn't feeling it at all. Like, I was like, I don't know. Like, maybe they're right. Maybe it's like it is trying to go for that vibe, and it's just not clicking. And then the fucking ending happens, and Jesus Christ, is it fucking pulls at your heartstrings? Like, geez, like these motherfuckers. I won't reveal it here because the game just came out, but it hits. It does a good job of being like emotionally affecting, which is funny because this is not a game that has like deep story, but it does good in presenting its characters and
the right brush strokes to it, you know. Yeah.
I'll be interested to see if what Moon Studios does next, whether they try and continue on with something in this vein or if they move on to something different, cuz the ending sets up something interesting, I guess, in how this would progress.
I love the series. I think the series like is it does get accolades and that this and that, but I don't think it gets talked about enough. Like, I think it's really good. Like, it's like, as far as Metroid type games, like for me, like it's like this and Axiom Verge that are like the cream of the crop.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the criticism Xbox doesn't have games, but I do think people like
significant.
It's not the big budget game. It's not the Uncharted or The Last of Us or whatever, but this is a high quality title of this type that is well worth playing, like if you enjoy these types of games. So, and Jeff, you played Chibi Robo?
Yeah. Yeah. Has anyone ever played that before?
I have not. Tony, Earl, have you guys played that?
No, I have no idea what that is. Or not, no.
I don't know.
I would say no. But, long story short, like, that's like a GameCube game I loved back in the day and used to be like worth nothing, but since the collectors have like gobbled everything up, like it's kind of an expensive game now. And so my girlfriend got that game for me on my birthday for like I think $100 or something. I've been playing through Chibi Robo for the GameCube once again, and I don't know. I've always really liked the game. I'm really liking it, but it's like I feel like it's a hard sell to other people. But it's, I don't know. It's like this really weird platformer where like you basically can't jump, and it's all about like kind of like building ladders and bridges and getting new like upgrades to your like robot, like where like he'll get a helicopter so you can float down back to the ground and shit, shit like that, where it's like kind of like a adventure type platformer game, but you know, you're playing like the scale of the game is like some family's house and the family drama plays like in the background of it. Has anyone ever played this game?
No
You sound insane right now.
Because like it's like a Nintendo game, but like the subject matter, I'll post some. I've been taking pictures of some of the dark subject matter in the game, but it's about like you're this little robot who like was like a birthday present to the daughter in the family, and like as you're living in this house, you realize that like the daughter is like this like 10-year-old girl or something is like super depressed because her parents fight all the time, and then like the parents are going through a divorce, and it's all presented as like this Nintendo like colorful, like, I don't know, dude. Like, it's fucking weird. Like, it's crazy, but it's like, it's got really dark shit about how, like, the husband is a drunk and he can't pay the bills because he got fired from his job and all he does is sleep on the couch. And, like, it's all this shit in, like, this, like, weird Nintendo platformer game. Like, I don't know. I think the game is pretty special in my opinion.
I kind of want to play it, but it's, I'm not paying $100.
Yeah. I wish they would, like, start releasing GameCube games on the Switch. Like, they really should. It'd be so awesome. But, yeah, I guess I was happy to get this. I wouldn't say it's worth $100 or anything, but, like, it was definitely, like, a super underlooked Nintendo game back in the day. Like, I think it's better than a lot of people give it credit for. Like, it, and it's still, like, I think the gameplay almost holds up better in a way now than a lot of GameCube games, and the game is, like, naturally widescreen, which is not, you know, a lot of games from that era, you can't even stretch to widescreen now, so...
Well, that's kind of cool. All right, well, I think that's it. I think that's everything we've been playing. We covered all the spec news. We talked about the coronavirus.
Oh, Animal Crossing, baby.
We're waiting at Animal Crossing, which should unlock minutes from now.
Minutes. I figured out my town name while we were recording.
It's going to be Tony, by the way. Or Tonyville.
Are you going to name your town Tonyville?
No, you're going to name your town Tonyville.
Why would I name my town Tonyville?
Because I inspire you.
Oh, then it's definitely not going to be named Tonyville.
Are you going to reveal what your town name is, or we have to wait till next week?
We'll wait till next week because it's all narrowed right down. I can tell you what it's going to be. I'm not sure what it's going to be precisely.
Okay, yeah, multiple choices.
Yes, I'm a super lazy and uncreative person, but I want something that speaks to me as a person. So my town is going to be orange in another language. I have two or three contenders for how that works so far, but they both seem to work, so we'll see how that goes.
All right. We look forward to hearing what your final decision is on that next week. Jeff, do you have a name picked out?
For my town?
Yeah.
Clits. Tonyville? Clits Creek.
Clits Creek. Wait. And now, if your girlfriend plays, does she have to play in Clits Creek?
No, she's got her own copy of the game and her own.
Oh, right, and she has her own Switch. So she won't have to play on yours.
Is it Kit or Kits?
Clit. Clits okay. Creek.
Okay, because I was about to say because the other one has because it's 10 characters, right?
Unless like it won't let me spell that, which could be a possibility. But
we'll see. Pretty sure it won't. But I mean, more power to you.
You try it, Jeff. Tony, do you have a name?
Maybe I spell it with a K.
I have not even thought about it.
I have not either, so.
Jefftown.
I thought about long and hard. You want, my last Animal Crossing game, the name of the town was Boner Town. Or Bonerton. Like, so no W at, near the end there, it's just Bonerton.
I like that so much has evolved in like 10 years. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean he's sticking with the same theme. So
exactly.
All right. Well, I think we're all getting Animal Crossing.
Oh, I can't wait.
We're all going to go outside.
Go anywhere.
Minutes away. It's like,
spend time with each other.
It's literally like 8 minutes away as we're speaking at this moment. So when you're listening to this and you're playing this game, think about how you felt at this moment.
It might be 8 minutes away. The one thing we didn't talk about because it's not news, but it is news, is that Nintendo Online has gone down and Xbox Live have been down this week because surprise surprise people are home and have nothing else to do.
But
the game should be like, if you had pre-order, should be downloaded at the very least. I think it would play.
It's downloaded, but it like sometimes they like right at midnight it doesn't unlock because everybody's going to try to unlock it at the same time.
Right,
dude, I'll fucking cry.
Yeah. Well, I will download it.
I will get my copy tomorrow.
Can't wait to visit your guys' island. It's going to be amazing.
What type of fruit are you hoping for?
I like apples, to be honest. I don't know. I like the red apples. Or, you know,
pineapples.
Pineapple. I don't even know the options, to be honest.
What? Apples, cherries, oranges.
Yeah, oranges for sure. I think pears, peaches.
I don't know. I don't even know if pineapples is an option.
Might be on the islands.
Coconuts wash up on the shore from what I heard. So.
Okay.
All right. So, we'll be one of us is excited for Animal Crossing. All of us are getting Animal Crossing.
Yeah. The rest of us are just like, it's coming out tomorrow and we're stuck home. So why not? Gotta
do something.
Yes. So, your new life.
We'll be back next week with our impressions of Animal Crossing. And
if the world still exists next week.
Yes. If we have not gone full apocalypse and we could still come to you with our words. We'll see. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.